247, Anna here, WGN. An eventful city council day today, a long one too. Protests outside for police funding issues, but also about having Chicago public schools no longer have a contract with Chicago police to cancel that was being proposed. But some interesting things happened today, and let's get up to speed on what we missed. It's Alderman Scott Waggis back from the 32nd Ward joining us. Thanks, Alderman. Thanks for taking the time. Busy day today, huh?
Yeah, it was, Anna. Thanks for having me on.
So that we've been talking about it this week on the show too, that issue of the $33 million contract for Chicago Police providing security within Chicago Public Schools that was proposed to be cut. And I understand that that sort of wound its way into a special committee where a lot of things go to die. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, I think what happened there was Alderman Taliaferro wanted it to go to the Education Committee to bring in CPS and have the discussion. It didn't end up in rules, but I think we definitely need to have a serious conversation about it.
Well, where do you sit on this whole thing? We've talked about it. People on the show have weighed in, and we've listened to a lot of viewpoints. Where do you think this should go? What should we do with police and schools? Do they belong there?
Well, I think in some schools they definitely want them removed and just stay with the security officers that they have, or bring in new security or more social workers to deal with some of the issues. But I've heard from parents and LSCs and principals in different schools who have had differing opinions on it. And I think bringing all those opinions to the table and having a public meeting about it to look through the contract to see where the possibility is for folks to continue to have that security that they're okay with, and where not, maybe we can modify the contract.
So, Alderman, you think that it will end up coming out of the Rules Committee?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people want to have that conversation both in and out of the council, and I think it's appropriate that we do, and especially in light of all the things that are going on with the police department and, you know, in the broader subject of how we reallocate resources and put more funds into helping our students.
So what the mayor has said all along is that the local school council can best sort of make those decisions about whether or not police should be used or not used, whether it's a good thing for their particular school or not. She thinks on that sort of local level that decision should be made, and this idea that you just wipe out $33 million bucks and say it doesn't work for everybody is too much. Where do you think that this will shake out? What do you think we'll eventually see here?
Well, I think it's a good idea to look at a lot of contracts that either have been in place for many years or just need to be modified. So I think that it's appropriate to bring it back into the Public Education Committee and really have the discussion there and hopefully get it done quicker than not. But I think Alderman Michael Scott, he was one of the signatories of one of the original sponsors of it. And I know that he would like to have that conversation, too. So it's definitely appropriate and time to have it.
Okay. A couple other things that happened today, and I didn't have a chance to see all of it because I was on the air for it. So please help me if we're missing some of the big things. But I know the $1 billion in federal stimulus money that was passed, where the city got the COVID-19 federal stimulus money. Where's that going? Can you give us an overview?
Sure. So when we get that funding passed through the budget committee and through the finance offices, all of it has to be COVID-related. And you have both the federal, state auditors that can look at it. You would have the inspector general looking at it. So every penny that they're spending has both the scrutiny of the city council, but also of those other agencies. And a lot of it breaks down for, you know, some of it is funded for the airports through the FAA. So different departments within the federal government have different pockets of it. We're going to see a good chunk. I was happy to see that the mayor raised the amount for housing assistance up to $20 million. You know, a lot of us were talking to her and the administration about it, and they bumped it up. And then we're hoping to see, out of the $396 million, I think it is, from the state, we're hoping to get several tens of millions more there for rental assistance and mortgage assistance.
There was a huge battle over whether or not any of that should be used for police overtime. That seemed to be one of the big, very vocal criticisms of that money. People, what happened on that?
Well, I think a lot of people wanted to make sure that there wasn't a penny spent from those budgets. But when you look at just purely in terms of budgeting, police officers were protecting and guarding places like McCormick Place, where there was tens of millions of dollars in medical equipment. And you can't just leave those kind of places open. There would have been a cost there for private security, but I think the officers that were assigned there is a good appropriation for CARES funding. Again, it has to go through, it has to all be related to COVID. So they're not out spending money on protest issues or things that some of the aldermen said. It is merely for COVID-related security issues or contracting issues where they scrutinize those dollars very closely so that the federal government doesn't say, yeah, you just used it on a whim. That can't happen, or that money gets removed.
Yeah, you don't want to see that. We can't afford to see any dollars going out of the city right now at a time like this. Isn't there like a $700 million new shortfall that was created during this?
Right.
Season?
And we're looking at that kind of issue where if they were specific to COVID, you know, you want to put it on the CARES Act or potential future dollars so that you don't put it on the city budget and you try to reduce that $700 million amount. It's just simple math. And you have to try to gather every penny that you can from the federal government to ease the burden on taxpayers wherever you can.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big thing moving forward. I mean, the decisions that will have to be made as you look at, you know, hotel and entertainment, you know, revenues down, right? You've got small businesses that are closing. You've got a unemployment issue, and you don't have major festivals and conventions and things like that the city relies a lot on to pay that kind of thing, which is where you are. So moving forward, a lot of difficult decisions to be made.
Yeah, and I think all the decisions so far, I have never seen this much transparency in terms of how those dollars are being spent. We've had a lot of briefings about COVID, that are issue of litigation that I can't talk too much about. But in earnest, I think the mayor has tried to be transparent. We've been getting weekly or frequent updates from the budget office, from the finance director, to all aldermen who would stop and listen and realize where those dollars are being spent. And again, you know, I've been through two other administrations and I've never seen this much openness and transparency in the way the dollars are being shown where they're going.
Yeah, the transparency is important. As we've seen, we don't have a great history of that in the past with all things, especially big matters.
Right.
You know, let me ask you about Juneteenth, because that was something else that came up today. I've noticed a few businesses, even here in the Chicago area, that are offering that June 19th off to their employees. I lived in Texas for a couple years, and I know it was a big day of celebrations. Emancipation Day, it's also known as. It's not a federal holiday. It's not a city holiday. It is something that came up today, I understand, right? Is there some legislation that has happened?
It did, and Alderman Maria Haddon was the main sponsor, along with Alderman David Moore, and I think it's a great way to show people the history of our country and show that there is a history that's not written in the books of our schools. It's not taught to people about what happened with emancipation and how long it took the state of Texas to come forward and make those changes, and it took a federal general to go down and say, we are going to pass this. But it's important to know that history across the board for all of us so that we know about the issues that have affected our black communities across this country, from redlining to subprime fraud to, just everything going back to the days of slavery and how opportunities have been blocked for this entire population, for this entire race. And I think it's important for us as a council to discuss it. If you heard some of the discussion, I know you weren't able to, but a lot of aldermen spoke passionately about it. And it just, looking to the future, it's a way for all of us to learn from it and do better as a city and as humans.
No question. I agree with that. And then finally, you passed the cocktails to go. And I think after everything that's going on in the world, we might need a cocktail to go. So that's done.
It's been a tough few months. And I know people, it's been tough for everybody. And I know everybody's angry in some ways about things, but we've just got to work together and continue to be listening to each other and try
Absolutely.
To do better.
Alderman Scott Wagasback, I thank you for the time and covering so much ground with us and letting us know what happened.
You're welcome.
There.